This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of the World Wide Wave on joy.org.au.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community, this is the World Wide Wave.
It is World Wide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show. We are taking you around the globe, one country at a time. Tonight, we're off to the warmer climes of a little island off Papua New Guinea, the autonomous region of Bougainville.
Bougainville? Where's Bougainville?
Bougainville. It's a small island, a part of Papua New Guinea, but just off to the east of Papua New Guinea.
Oh, fantastic. It's pretty conservative there, though, isn't it?
That it is. In fact, that's some of the issues we're talking about with our guests. How do you get kids talking about sex in a very socially conservative community?
And not just talking. You know, kids will talk about sex sometimes, but actual meaningful dialogue about HIV, abstinence and prevention.
Indeed. And what's the implications if you can't get them talking? To understand gay life in Bougainville, we are speaking tonight with Blossom Gilmore from Care Australia. And we'll also be hearing the voices of gay people in Papua New Guinea from the online documentary Guavas and Bananas. In fact, here's a taste of what's in store tonight.
So we have recently done some work around trying to identify how sex work is happening in Bougainville. And it's very much at an informal, transactional level. Someone will trade sex for a trip on the bus or will trade sex for school fees for her children. But if you ask her, she identified as a sex worker, the answer would be no.
And that's Blossom Gilmore speaking to us from Bougainville, an island off or a part of Papua New Guinea. A shout out first, because I know we've got an international listener tonight. We've already had a message through. So hello to Dean, messaging in from New York. Lovely to have you with us tonight. Kicking off now with our worldwide wrap, a look at the latest LGBT news and current affairs from around the globe.
So we're heading off to the United States, and I've got a question for folks listening. Do you think that as an LGBT listener, you are better off than your straight friends? Do you think you're better off than your straight friends? Well,
now,
I'll tell you.
What are you meaning better off, though? I mean,
you
get more sex?
All of it, mentally, physically, financially, spiritually. I don't believe sexually was included in this poll. Now, this was a United States poll, and they found...
Where they poll everything.
Yeah, that's all they do. In fact, they polled, they interviewed 81,000 straight people and 3,000 gay people.
81,000? Wow, that's big.
Wait, they find 3,000 gay people in the United States. I don't know, but what I do know is that they sadly found that LGBT people have a lower rate on a well-being index than straight individuals. So they added up all these questions together and they found, yeah, that LGBT people, now mind you, this is United States LGBT people, so yeah, I don't know, but they had an average score of 58 and compared to straight people, average score of 62. And even though that sounds like four small points, with numbers that big, that's a significant difference.
That surprises me though. I mean, I would have thought that more of the gay population don't have kids, there's probably a bit more affluence, the old pink dollar thing.
No, but check this out. They actually found that LGBT people living in the US are 10% less likely to be thriving financially, and that was the biggest gap they found. And the same place did a study earlier this month and found that people applying for jobs 40% less likely to be offered an interview if they're gay or lesbian.
Wow.
40% less likely. That's discrimination.
Now, I wonder if that is the same here in Australia. Are straight people better off than gay people on the wellbeing index?
Yeah, well, they may also be better off than gay people, but in Kazakhstan, a gay advertising campaign placed ahead of many straight advertising campaigns. Is that right? It took out a bronze award at a regional advertising competition. Okay, despite causing outrage, because it showed two famous Russians kissing.
Oh.
Ooh.
Was Putin one of them? I'd like to see that. I'd pay to see that.
Yes, and Gorbachev was the other. No, just kidding. It's Russian. It's the poet Alexander Pushkin and Kazakh composer Kerman Gazez Sagabayuli. I looked that one up.
Well done.
Yes, thank you for that. And basically, it's the street corner where the bar is located, but they show the two men getting it on.
The fact that they're kissing, and with the anti-gay laws that have been coming out in Russia and the surrounding countries, that would obviously inflame the situation.
Well, yeah, because in Russia, that poster would be illegal because it would be so-called public homosexual propaganda. But it's not illegal in Kazakhstan. In fact, it has been fine to have homosexual sex since 1998. Pretty recent, Soviet bloc, but once it's broken off the bloc, looks like things are a little different on that bloc, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, the old corner of Pushkin and Sagabayuli.
Across to Africa now, not so good, usually when it comes to Africa. In Ghana, police have arrested a man for recruiting others into homosexuality.
But hold up, it's actually interesting, because when you had a bunch of international protesters come and sort of question that, guess what happened?
What happened?
The police said, we're actually protecting him from getting killed by the neighbors. So
so they're arresting him for his own good?
Yeah, no, I'm going to just blame a Muslim sheik.
A new angle on...
Yes, well, that's just it. Who's right and who's not? A Muslim sheik condemns the young man, led a crusade of locals against him. Meanwhile, the police commander told journalists that because the residents were threatening to kill him, they ended up saving him by throwing him into jail in handcuffs.
Right. Saved in jail.
Amen, brothers and sisters.
It's a long straw. It's a long straw.
It's an interesting straw. Would you rather be in jail or beaten up by your neighbours? SMS us. No, just kidding.
Some better news now in Ecuador, where they are registering gay de facto marriages.
Ooh, so allowing... Ecuador. Wait a minute. Rafael Correa was like a little bit of a tightwad about this thing.
Well, clearly there's some changes been going on. Or there's certainly he's announced that they're having discussions to allow other benefits for the LGBT people, including allowing transgender people to update their documents to reflect their true gender.
No way, because their constitution, actually, we went to Ecuador and the constitution bans same-sex marriage, like flat out bans it. But
well, there's still some barriers. There's still some no-go zones. He's saying that adoption for same-sex people is still not on.
Right.
There's a limit to what he can do.
Who wants to adopt? But let's hit the light news now.
Here's one for the ladies.
Former Miss Spain. Oh, my God. Have you seen her? Becomes the first openly gay beauty queen.
She didn't do
queen.
Anything for me, but yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, former Miss Spain Patricia Llorena Rodriguez, and I did not even have to look up how to pronounce that
you
name.
You did that so well.
She made pageant history by becoming the first lesbian professional beauty queen. 24-year-old was crowned Miss Spain in 2008 and in 2013. She came out as a lesbian to fans last week by sharing a photo of herself in bed with her DJ girlfriend, Vanessa Cortez, and captioned the shot, Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Oh, nice. In fact, I think we might even post that photo on our Facebook page.
This is Otan Batar from LGBT Center of Mongolia, and I'm happy to be on Worldwide Wave.
It is the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. Bougainville isn't a name that's come up a lot in Australia, and people
as in
sort
Bogans,
of know that. No, nothing, to do,
cars
nothing
around?
To do with. people have heard the name, not really quite grasping where it is. But basically, it's an autonomous region in Papua New Guinea. Its capital is Baku. And it's kind of, it used to actually be called the North Solomon Islands. So it's in that same sort of region as the Solomon Islands.
Australia's okay, so they're our backyard neighbours.
They are right on our doorstep. Oh. And Australia's had a lengthy involvement in the area as well, because Australia took over administration
as we do.
Of the whole country, basically, after World War II. After independence in 1975, this is a really copper and gold rich country. So it that kind of wealth caused lots of problems, and there was actually fighting broke out and went on for many years. There's estimates that 15,000 to 20,000 lives were lost, and it wasn't until a peace agreement in 1997 that was brokered that it actually...
1997?
Yeah,
all that over
war.
The gold and copper.
A long, long war.
All right, and now, so let me guess, gay rights, not so
probably
good?
Probably not a priority.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. In fact, it's prohibited under Section 210 of the Papua New Guinea Penal Code. That's male same sexual activities. And in fact, if you are caught engaging in anal sex, it's up to 14 years imprisonment.
So Bougainville is in Papua New Guinea.
It is a part, but it's an autonomous region.
Oh, so because it's prohibited in Papua New Guinea, it's prohibited in Bougainville.
Yeah, and other same-sex sexual acts can be punished with up to 3 years of imprisonment. Big Christian society that is underlying all for these
men.
Things.
Women, it's fine.
Yeah, bit silent on the women, actually.
No, no, actually, it's legal. Mm. It's legal. Mm. Yeah, as usual. You know, just sliding through the cracks.
So to speak. Yeah, the government has actually... So there have been calls from many Western countries, including Australia and the United States, for Papua New Guinea to decriminalise homosexuality. And the government of Papua New Guinea pretty much came out and said, nope, not going to. That was in 2011. More recently, one of their leading politicians, Dame Carol Kidu, has called for decriminalisation within Papua New Guinea.
That's right. She tried to champion and say, like, let's make it a bit more even. And pretty much the Prime Minister, Peter O'Neill, was like, nah, strong feelings against homosexuality, not politically viable to support that kind of action. And so he hasn't.
On the good side of things, the US State Department's report on the country has found that there have been no persecutions of the law in 2012. So they have these laws, but they're not necessarily being enforced. But they do say that LGBT people are likely to face discrimination in their daily lives, even struggling to find jobs because of their sexuality. Let's hear some voices from Papua New Guinea.
For PNG, most gay men go with bi or straight men. I don't know the ideas of how and why they want to do it. Could be maybe said, oh, just try.
We went for a gay night at a club. After the function of the gay night, we all came out and the transport was full. So we got no way to go, and some of them got on the taxi. Some of us, we walked. And there were 17 of us. We walked from the party place. From all the way we were walking down, and the boys, the street boys, they got drunk, and the rascals, while we were walking down, they held us up. Some of us, we fight back. Some of them, they really like the girls, ladies. So they got no strength to fight back. So we were supporting them to fight back, but we were not strong. Some of us, we escaped. Some of them, they were hurt and they were killed by the street boys and the rascals.
I was advised, don't ever provoke a straight man, even to the kids. That's where they call you names and it hurts you so much. How will you fight? We're just minority. It's how you portray your life. In PNG, that will keep you that you're a good citizen of the country. That's how I see it in my point of view. We're careful how to handle the situation here.
When we are with our boyfriends, we go to the private places that nobody sees us. Because we are not yet been allowed by the Papua New Guinea government.
Yeah, there's a possibility people could report. But, you know, in Papua New Guinea, we have so many laws, but nobody to carry it out.
Those are the voices of gay people in Papua New Guinea from the online documentary Guavas and Bananas. And we've posted that on our Facebook page. If you search World Wide Wave on Facebook, you can view the doco. It's about 12 minutes long. Very interesting, and it really talks about the need to act straight and be underground, and you know, the term, as they were saying, the term gay, very rarely used. You're either straight or bi at the most.
Hi, my name is Kenneth. I'm from LGB Denmark. You're hearing me on the World Wide Wave.
It's Joy 94.9. This is the World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. We are tonight in Bougainville in Papua New Guinea. Actually, we've had a message in from Dean in the USA. So we're getting the USA angle on this survey at the top of the show. My American partner, Angel, is disturbed by the workplace discrimination in the USA and isn't out because he works in a butch work environment. There's a lot of people who come from more traditional machismo backgrounds, but his union is equal rights even before same-sex marriage was legalized in the USA. And if we were married or were living together, I would be eligible for his medical benefits. Basically, a mixed bag. So the good with the bad.
Yeah, and that's Dean's response to our question of, do you think LGBT people are better off than straight people? As in, are you better off than your straight friends? And a USA study found actually Well, you're not. That's a bit depressing.
On the well-being. So it sort of took in a whole lot of...
No, it's physical, mental, emotional, financial. They did not, I don't think, include sexual in their list, unless that's in their physical questions. Didn't say it in the article. Unfortunately, in Bougainville, life is not as beautiful and melodic. No, in fact, Bougainville is not quite a mixed bag. It's... Well,
there's some issues, but there's some good things.
There were, and that is a bit exciting, is that we actually spoke with someone who's acting with Care Australia and keen to make a difference.
So we're speaking now with Blossom Gilmore from Care Australia on Bougainville. Blossom, can you tell us about the work that Care is doing in the HIV area on Bougainville?
Sure. Our focus in Bougainville is on youth in particular, because there is a very high percentage of the population is considered youth, and they're considered to be the lost generation, so the generation which really suffered from the lack of education and health services during the Bougainville crisis. And so our work with them is trying to raise awareness around HIV, but also really trying to work with youth on their ability to communicate and negotiate for safer sex, and just in general, in terms of having healthy relationships.
You mentioned there the impact of the civil war that went on for a number of years. How does that affect your ability to deliver services in Bougainville?
It doesn't currently negatively impact our ability to work. What it does affect is the group of people that we are working with. And so the group of young people we're working with didn't grow up with the kind of support systems that they would have had they not been born at that critical point in the history. So there's more work to be done with them, and there are more issues that they're facing than youth in other areas of Papua New Guinea. The actual rates of HIV infection are quite low. There are high rates of STI infection, but the prevalence of HIV is relatively low.
One effect that often comes out in islander communities is for having multiple sexual partners. Is that something that is an issue in Bougainville?
Well, the CARE Project recently did a survey of youth, and they talked to over 600 youth in the urban areas. And about 65% of young women said that they'd only had one sexual partner in the last 12 months. Whereas 71% of young men said they'd had two or more sexual partners in the last 12 months. So the behaviors are quite different between men and women. And men are having quite a few sexual partners over a short time period, which, of course, increases their risk of contracting any of the STIs.
Are parents supportive of messages around sexual behavior and HIV being delivered to youth, or are they concerned with that?
Well, Bougainville is a traditional culture, and there are some barriers to speaking openly about sex. However, we do a lot of work with community leaders in trying to raise their awareness of the risks associated with some of the behaviors that their youth are engaging in. And generally, once the leaders understand what is going on, they're quite supportive of us trying to work with youth. There is obviously some more conservative elements of the culture, but so far, we've had relatively good support from the leaders we do work with.
Is it difficult to provide support to key populations, such as men who have sex with men or sex workers?
Absolutely. In PNG, there is not much of a formally identified sex trade. So we have recently done some work around trying to identify how sex work is happening in Bougainville, and it's very much at an informal, transactional level. Someone will trade sex for a trip on the bus, or will trade sex for school fees for her children. But if you ask her, she identified as a sex worker, the answer would be no. So trying to then map those populations and track them is very difficult. And the same goes for men who have sex with men. While 15% of the young men we surveyed said they'd engaged in sex with other men, if you tried to access them as a group and tried to figure out who were these men and how could you better support them, it would be incredibly difficult because of the cultural barriers to speaking openly about such things.
For those people that do contract HIV, how easy is it for them to access effective health services and medicines?
Well, HIV medicines are free. However, they are generally only available through the major health centers. So in Bougainville, for example, they would only be available in the capital of Buka. So anyone who was living outside of the capital would have to travel here to pick up their medications and then take them home. And depending the availability of the medications, they may not get much of a supply. So they may be having to come back every couple weeks or every couple months. And if you're traveling several days to get here, then it can be a bit of a challenge to maintain that.
Is it difficult for a HIV positive person to be out and open about that?
I think that would depend on individual families and communities. There is a really high awareness in PNG of particularly around AIDS and the impact of AIDS. Most people who do know about AIDS know it's because someone has come back to their community when they've been quite sick. And families respond differently here as they do all over the world. Some families are much more open to accepting their family members and helping them, and others aren't, which is really unfortunate. But I would say in general, it's quite difficult for people here to talk openly about sex, and therefore anything that's related to that will be equally challenging.
And that was the voice of Blossom Gilmore speaking to us from Bougainville.
And she's from Care Australia, so they deliver programs primarily in the area of sexual health and HIV on Bougainville Island.
You know what's interesting? She's talked about how they did their survey of 600 youth, and 15% of them are engaging in sex with same-sex sex, so men having, boys having sex with boys, girls sex with girls, but there was no rhyme or reason to it. And it's interesting because in the Bougainville culture, it's okay for a man to have sex with another man. That's not seen as homosexuality so much as when you are cross-dressing, participating in the women's parts of the ceremonies and the women's rituals. Just for example, in the traditional ceremonies, the men stand on one side, the women on the other. And so when somebody crosses over to the other side, that's viewed as homosexuality. But then if, say, a local man, a husband and wife, just decides to have sex with that guy one night, that's not viewed as homosexuality.
It's that macho thing, isn't it? It's appearance of, you know, being a strong, the masculine partner.
Isn't that interesting? Because that's the opposite of like the Fafafini that we were seeing. It's another island.
There's much more acceptance.
Yeah, American Samoa. So it's, I wonder what the difference is. Like, what made Bougainville come out so that wasn't okay, and yet American Samoa, so that is okay.
Of course, the difficulties that Blossom was talking about there in terms of managing, not just getting the message out to people in the community about things like safe sex, but just that challenge when people aren't recognising there is an issue, there's, I guess, a fluid sexual basis there whereby, you know, oh, I need a ride into town. Okay, well, I'll give the taxi driver sex. That will, I won't have to pay for the ride then. That must be a bit of a nightmare to manage in terms of safe sex.
Imagine being
STIs.
A sex educator in that kind of environment. Yeah, definitely making it difficult. You are on the World Wide Wave. Each week we head to a country. This week we are in Bougainville.
Hi, this is Max from Amnesty International speaking from Ukraine on the World Wide Wave.
We're on Bougainville, an autonomous region as part of Papua New Guinea, and we've been speaking with Blossom Gilmore from Care Australia, and we asked Blossom a bit more about the youth projects that they're undertaking on Bougainville. How do you encourage people to talk more openly about sexual issues?
Well, we try and get them when they're young. So part of the reason we work with youth is because youth are a bit more open to talking about things. And just really encouraging them to be much more clinical about it. We try and talk about things in terms of biology and in terms of relationships and negotiation, and try and use language that is acceptable to the group we're working with. So try and use the terminology that youth will understand. So we try and find that balance between making it less scary to talk about by talking about it with them and getting them sensitized to the idea of talking about it, but at the same time trying to make it something that they can practice in their daily lives.
Given that Bougainville is a fairly remote, or it is remote from the mainland, does that provide extra challenges for you?
Bougainville, because it is an autonomous region, has all of the same infrastructure. It's got a replicate system of the mainland, and so it does have reasonably well set up infrastructure in terms of health and education. And actually some of the systems work better here than they do in other parts of PNG, which is quite good and quite lucky. But there are challenges all over Papua New Guinea in terms of accessing health services. The further you get out from a provincial capital, the more challenging it is. So if you happen to live in Buka, which is the capital of the autonomous region of Bougainville, then you can access the hospital. But if you live in one of the remoter villages, you can walk up to a day to reach a health center, and that health center would have limited number of staff with limited skills to be able to diagnose or treat any form of sexually transmitted infection.
What do you see as the future for young people growing up in PNG?
I think PNG is developing at a rate that is quite in keeping with its access to resources. So while they're still struggling to get their feet under them and figure out how best to use the money that they're generating through their mines and through their oil, I think if the government continues to be committed to supporting the people, then health and education will improve with time. As you may have heard, they've introduced free education, and theoretically health services should be free as well. And so as those services improve with time, the health and education of the population should improve, and over time, hopefully the population will develop.
Congratulations on the work you're doing in Bougainville with Care International, and thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure to speak to you.
And that was Blossom Gilmore from Care Australia on Bougainville Island. Interesting, the money flowing through, they are feeding that into the community in some areas with free education. Health, a little bit behind the eight ball.
It's like they can pick and choose the favourite sons.
Yeah, it's one of the things we haven't tackled yet tonight with regards to Papua New Guinea is asylum seekers. So Australia's
speaking asylum, of picking and choosing,
yeah. One of the very contentious things, given that Papua New Guinea has these 14 years in prison for same-sex sexual activity. If we send asylum seekers there, then they are at risk, and it has caused lots of issues, lots of debate within Australia's parliament, and the Greens particularly have been advocates of protecting the refugee rights of LGBT refugees.
Yeah, let's break it down. If you're in Iraq, Iran, anywhere around the world, but let's just say you're homosexual, it's illegal there, so you decide to flee because you're afraid of being persecuted and dying. A place like Norway welcomes you with open arms, Sweden, blah, blah, blah. You come, let's just say you get on a boat in Indonesia, you try to come into Australia. Well, then what happens? Well, you're going to Papua New Guinea as part of the program. And
then you are subject to Papua New Guinea's laws.
Where you will be immediately persecuted and sent to prison for 14 years.
And pretty much the Australian government's position is any refugee that comes here illegally goes through the same process, i.e. to, in this case, Papua New Guinea. They have said they will offset that by contributing funds to the HIV/AIDS Legal Centre, $80,000 a year for the next 4 years.
They're trying to buy us to shut up.
Yeah.
$80,000, that's nothing.
Not much, is it? Did just want to finish on an upbeat note, because one of the allies that has come forward in Papua New Guinea, after Dame Kidu spoke out trying to get the Parliament of Papua New Guinea to change or to decriminalise homosexuality, one of the unlikely supporters has been the Catholic Bishops' Conference. So The Catholic Bishops. So Dame Kidu was very much pushing decriminalisation on the basis of what it would do to help reduce HIV and STI infection rates, what we were talking about before. And the Catholic Bishops run a lot of the country's HIV services. So on the basis of it being a healthcare issue, they've given qualified support to her stance.
Oh, well, good on them. Yay, Catholic Bishops.
It's a little win, and it's good that by golly, we'll take it.
We'll bring good news to the world here on World Wide Wave, Joy 94.9.
This is Eve from Cameroon on Joy 94.9.
We have taken you around the world tonight, stopping off in Bougainville, and a huge thank you to Blossom Gilmore from Care Australia. You can find out more about the programs they're delivering there at care.org.au. The online documentary we mentioned before, Guavas and Bananas, we've already posted that on our Facebook page. So just search World Wide Wave or W3Joy on Facebook. You'll see that. If you like us, we'll send you posts throughout the week on international news and current affairs for the LGBT community. And a shout out there to Alex, Greg and David, who've liked us, joined us or interacted with us in the week. You're on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for riding the World Wide Wave. Catch you next week.
Thank you for listening to the World Wide Wave podcast. We're always looking for interested guests and news tips. You can email us at worldwidewave@joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.